Eternal God, we are here this day awaiting your movement in our lives that we might do your will. You've spoken to us through your scripture, and now we pray you'll speak to us through the spoken word, that all might hear and all might know what you have to say to them today in the name of Christ. Amen. I just sent somebody a recipe yesterday for a dish that is called ratatouille. It has a fancy name, but it's a very easy vegetable dish. One of the main ingredients of ratatouille is eggplant. Now, before you go, "Ooh, I hate eggplant," hear me out. Anyone who's ever used eggplant for cooking knows that it's about 92% water, and that makes it a relatively healthy vegetable. The way I cook it is to cut it into cubes or to cut it into circles and bake it with a bunch of other vegetables and herbs. But you know, in order to tenderize that flesh and in order to make it a little less sharp, because it can be kind of bitter, I always sweat the eggplant by salting it a little while. Salt is one of those naturally occurring elements that people have used for millennia throughout the world. Doctors tell us that we all need some salt in our diet for fluid balance and for to help nerve function. It also contributes to good health in the heart and liver and kidneys. However, and this is always the case, isn't it? However, too much salt can raise your blood pressure, contribute to kidney stones, and has been linked to osteoporosis and cardiovascular disease. In our modern world, we use too much salt. And I'm one that says, "Well, I don't put any salt on my food," and I don't. 75% of the salt we take in comes from hidden salt in the prepared foods that we eat. Why do we use so much salt? Well, I asked the Thursday morning Bible study this very question, and they all agreed that one of the main reasons was the taste. Food just tastes bland to us if it's not salted. That's why we take fresh veggies and boil them till they're limp and then pour salt all over them. Y'all are laughing. You do that, don't you? In the ancient world, salt was essential too. But for them, it was used mainly as a preservative for things like fish and other meats. Those were the main source of protein for people, and they had to have a way to keep it so they could use it beyond the first day or two, so before it spoiled. They needed to have that protein throughout the year, and so they'd dry their fish and they'd salt their fish and then they'd store it back away. They knew they had to have salt to live, although they didn't know the science of why that was a good thing. They just knew that it helped. And they also knew that they could use salt to preserve their fish. So, for those people, salt was a pretty big deal. Now, it's obvious when we read the scripture that Jesus used everyday things to convey eternal truths to the people, so they'd be able to understand fully what he was saying to them. Our text today that was read by Hoyt, that text is the prime example of Jesus doing just this. He starts with a basic element, salt, and he equates the life of the disciple with it. Jesus is telling them that the way they obey God and the way they live out their faith brings flavor to the world, and it describes that disciples can be instruments of God used to preserve the world that is turned away from God. This is all fine and good, but then Jesus adds something. He tells them that if salt stops having saltiness, it stops doing its function. It is no longer good for anything. And to double down on this point, Jesus uses another example, and this one is of the ovens that were in every village in Israel. They usually had a communal oven simply because it was more energy efficient to have one that everyone brought some fuel to, and they kept burning so that they could cook their bread. And in these communal ovens, in order to keep them hot and in order to raise the heat, they'd use salt. They'd put salt bricks down in the oven. It would get hot, it would stay hot, and the oven would be able to cook more efficiently. But the problem with this was that the quality of the salt, the heat ability of the salt, would diminish. And so periodically they had to remove that salt from the oven and replace it. And the used salt they take out and they toss it to the ground where, wait for it, it is trampled underfoot. Jesus continues this idea, but this time he with something we almost take for granted, what Mark shared with the children today, light. He calls the disciples light of the world, and they shouldn't hide their light so no one could see it. That's not the purpose of light. This morning on our altar, we have a big pile of salt, and we have a lamp that has a light on it to symbolize what Jesus is saying. The purpose is to illumine. The purpose is to be seen. He reminds them that a city built on a hill so that everyone could see it. Richard Heyer writes, obviously, an ancient city set on a hill would be noticeable in the daylight, but also at night. It'd be noticeable at night when everyone could see the lights of the lamps or the candles as they shine through the windows of the city. Jesus also tells them that you do not place your lamp under a bushel basket, because if you place your lamp under a bushel basket, it'll block the light. Just like Mark's flashlight down in that bag. It was on, but you couldn't see it. Now, this has always been to me a very odd saying, a very strange image, because my experience of a bushel basket was that woven thing that was made out of wood stuff. I don't know exactly what it's made out of, reeds, anyway. And it was not something that I would want to put over a lit flame, because it would go, and that's not good. So what does Jesus, why does Jesus use it? Well, in the ancient world, once you lit a candle, you kind of wanted to keep it lit, because you didn't have a lighter to light it every time. So when they didn't need it, they put a ceramic bowl over it that had holes in it so air could get in. And then when they needed to add light, they simply take the ceramic bowl off. Then you could see. That's what Jesus means. You shouldn't cover up your light, because if you cover up your light, you won't be able to see. So Jesus tells them that they are the salt of the earth and the light of the world, and to be that is a big responsibility. It's a constant responsibility. It's a day-in and day-out responsibility. It's not something we can do every other Sunday and then skip the rest of the time. Every day, disciples are to bring flavor to the world and help preserve the world by sharing the Word of God and showing the love of God to others. Every day, the disciple is to be visible light that reflects the light of Christ, so all might see His mercy and His grace and hear His calling. The purpose of all this is not so others can see the good things that we do. The purpose of all this is that they may see and hear the word we say, but to give God the glory. Now, the second half of our reading shifts the gear from light and salt, sort of. Because here, Jesus takes on the criticism that he's hearing from the Pharisees and the other good religious people of his day. And they're saying that he's trying to destroy the law and the prophets. That he's saying things that violate the law and the prophets, and that he should just be quiet, because those things you can't change. But Jesus here denies that that's what he's doing. Instead, he affirms that he came into the world so the law and the word of the prophets would be fulfilled. There's a website I look at sometimes, and it put it this way. In other words, Jesus' purpose was to establish the word, to embody it, and to fully accomplish all that was written. That's what it means to fulfill the word. Now, there are some who would point out that the law still stands and is in effect and applicable to all followers of Jesus because Jesus said he didn't abolish it. But we have to understand that the meaning of this text needs to be seen through the lens of St. Paul, who was a former Pharisee, remember. He was emphatic when he said in Galatians, "We are held in custody under the law, locked up until faith should be revealed." So the law became our guardian to lead us to Christ, to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. And now that faith has come, we no longer are under the guardian. It's Galatians 3. This means that the followers of Jesus are to operate under the law of Christ, the law of love, Paul speaks of in Galatians 6. The bottom line for us here is that as disciples, our righteousness must exceed the righteousness of those who merely go through the motion of keeping the law. Salt is not meant to be withheld. Light is not meant to be covered up, so it's only seen by a few. Instead, they are to be shared with all people who need their preservation, who needs their guidance and their warmth. Dr. Janet Hunt always makes me ponder when I read her blog each week. And this week she had something on this text. And as I read her post, it caused me to wonder and to think about it. I want to share with paraphrase of three questions that she asked. And I want to ask them to you this day. First, where have we tasted the salt and seen the light lately? Where have you tasted the salt and seen the light that God puts in your life? The salt to preserve, the salt to bring flavor to your life, the light that is given to you to light your way. Where have you seen that lately? Secondly, how have we been salt and light to those around us lately? What are the times that we have lately been salt and light so others might see and taste? And then finally, how are we being called to be salt and light tomorrow? Where have we experienced it? Where have he shown it today? And where will we show it tomorrow? A story was told by Pastor Derek Tupper about an island in New Brunswick, Canada. It was an island that was named Deer Island. And they didn't have a lighthouse, but they had something that kind of functioned as a lighthouse. They had a church. And this church, ironically, the name of the cove was Lord's Cove. You knew there was going to be something special. And this church at Lord's Cove was not in the middle of the town. It was set up on a hill about a couple of hundred feet up so that when you looked up, you could see it. If you've ever been on the ocean, you know it's kind of flat sometimes. Sometimes it's not, but most of the time it's flat. And you can see for a long distance. And this church, this steeple on the hill at Lord's Cove on Deer Island could be seen by the sailors. It was a typical church of the early 20th century. There was nothing special about it. But during the day, they could see the steeple afar off. And that's what they aimed for. That's how they found their way to the cove. And at night, guess what they did in the steeple? Anybody want to guess? They lit a light. It wasn't a lighthouse. Oh, well, maybe it was. They lit lights in the steeple so that the sailors who were out in the ocean would see the lights and find their way home. Jesus says we are the light of the world to lead people and to love God. In just a moment, the ushers are going to give each one of you a small plastic bag. In this plastic bag, you'll find a single serving of salt. and you'll find a candle. Please take these with you during the week. Take these with you during the week that they may remind you to be the salt and the light of the earth. Please take them with you this week so that you would be able to make that an important part of your daily devotion. You can come on down and start handing them out. Please take these with you. If you want to, you can take an extra one and share it with somebody. Maybe you know somebody that you'd like to witness to, and this is a really good way to do that. Remember, you are the salt, you're the light, and show how you live out the love of God and the law of Christ in all you meet. We're going to take a few moments of silence to reflect upon what God has told us this day, and then we'll have our prayer. Let us pray. O Lord, you have called us to be the salt of the earth. You have called us to be the light of the world. You have moved us to that place because you want us to share with the world the love of you that you have for us through Jesus Christ. May everything we say and do this week reflect that. And may it also be used to glorify you and to give praise to your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen.